WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We just heard from David Boies, who represented the Gore-Lieberman ticket in the Florida courts and the Supreme Court during the Florida recount. Ted Olson represented the Bush-Cheney ticket in the Supreme Court. After Bush became president, Olson was appointed Solicitor General. In July, he stepped down and returned to private practice. I spoke with Ted Olson earlier today. Do you think that this presidential election will likely be contested in the way that the 2000 election was? Do you think it will be so close that it will be contested?
Well, I don't know how close it's going to be, but all the polls say it's going to be close, and the experts are all saying that, so I suppose I have to defer to that. And to the extent that it does turn out to be as close or nearly as close as the 2000 election, it would not surprise me at all to see some sort of litigation in the states where the outcome is very close.
Would you be involved again?
Well, that would depend upon whether my clients from the year 2000 wanted me to do it again. I'm standing by and I'm ready to go.
I know that I believe that the Republicans are already preparing for the possibility of such a contested election. Are you in on the planning for that?
I am standing by. I'm not involved in any planning. From what I have read and what I have heard, both sides are making sure that there are lawyers available to them throughout the country just in case.
If there is a contested election again, what do you think are the precedents from 2000 that could be applied to 2004?
Well, the one that everybody thinks about are the two Bush versus Gore Supreme Court decisions. And those two decisions taken together stand for the proposition that there are federal, constitutional, and statutory requirements that deal with presidential elections, and the provisions in the Constitution and in the federal statute must be complied with, and that if necessary, federal courts will ensure that there is compliance with federal law. That is, both with respect to how members of the Electoral College from a particular state are selected and with respect to the manner in which the ballots are counted, so that people in different places won't be treated in a substantially, arbitrarily dissimilar fashion.
The U.S. Supreme Court stopped the Florida recount in process, and then the case went to the Supreme Court. Do you think it's likely that if there are individual states in which the election is contested, that the Supreme Court would intervene?
If the recount is being conducted in an unconstitutional fashion, then the Supreme Court might. It's important to remember that in the Florida situation in the year 2000, the first time that the United States Supreme Court intervened, the court unanimously, 9-0, vacated a Florida Supreme Court decision that had set out a recount process that did not seem to comply with the federal statute. And the second time around, 7 of the 9 justices felt that the Equal Protection Clause requirements of equal treatment were being violated. By then it was December 12, which in the calendar year 2000 was the last date for compliance with certain federal requirements as to the counting of ballots. So while the Supreme Court stopped the recounting at that point, it did so because it perceived the process as being done in an unconstitutional fashion and that the deadline was up to comply with the Constitution to count the votes.
Now, my understanding of the equal protection argument that the Supreme Court used and that you argued in court was that, for instance, with the hanging chads and stuff, that individual counties, in fact, individual people might interpret that each of those votes differently, and that therefore each voter wouldn't have equal protection because somebody in one county might interpret a ballot as having enough light shining through the chad to be counted as a vote, and somebody in another county or in the next seat might not count it the same way. On the other hand, the different counties had different voting systems. Some of them had, you know, the system that led to the hanging chad. Some of them had electronic votes. The absentee vote was completely different than there was the butterfly ballot. So, you know, some people have made the argument that if you're going to use the equal protection argument, then all of Florida violates equal protection. Since there were so many different voting systems, the voters weren't treated equally.
Well, the Supreme Court dealt with that, actually, in its opinion. In the 2000 case of Bush versus Gore, it said that simply because there are different types of ballots or different methods of counting the ballots in different areas of, in this case, Florida, does not violate the Equal Protection Clause. What the court found objectionable was an arbitrary and capricious manner of counting the votes differently in different counties. Remember, the rules were being changed sort of hourly in various different areas of the Florida system, and so that there was this massive unfairness, at least as the Supreme Court saw it, with respect to the changing of the rules and arbitrary and capricious different standards that were being applied to the recount process. It was not simply that there are different types of ballots in different areas, which are always have been and probably always will be.
My guest is Ted Olson. He represented the Bush-Cheney ticket 4 years ago in the Supreme Court. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ted Olson. He represented the Bush-Cheney ticket when the Florida recount case was heard in the Supreme Court 4 years ago. Republicans are often opposed to federal intervention into state issues. Do you think that the issue of the Florida recount should have actually gone to the Supreme Court?
Well, it wasn't a state issue. It was a matter of the presidential election, which is a federal issue. The Supreme Court had said several times before, as recently as 1983, that in the context of a presidential election, federal constitutional and statutory standards must be complied with in individual states because the votes in individual states affect the election throughout the United States for the president, the officer of the United States elected by all of the people.
Many Republicans are against what they describe as activist judges. And I'm wondering if you think this was an activist judicial decision to actually intervene like this and decide the election.
I think that what the court was doing was not an activist, or I hate that label because people use the word activist to describe whatever they don't like. Remember, the Supreme Court unanimously, 9-0, reversed the first Florida Supreme Court decision, and then 7 of the 9 justices felt that the second Florida Supreme Court decision imposed an unconstitutional process. So I think that what was concerning to Republicans and to the candidates that I represented was that the Florida Supreme Court had twice violated the Constitution in forcing a recount that didn't comply with federal constitutional and statutory standards, that if there was any activism at all, it was at that level. And what the United States Supreme Court did was to correct the erroneous process that had been put in play by the Florida Supreme Court.
Do you think that the U.S. Supreme Court's decision was a partisan decision?
No. I think it was a fair, honest interpretation of the Constitution of the United States. And I say so in part because I believe it, but also because 9 justices rejected the Florida effort the first time, and 7 of the 9 found that there were constitutional problems the second time around.
Now, our listeners may be surprised to hear that you and David Boies are friends. I he says that in his book, and I think you agree with that.
I do. I have a great respect and affection for David Boies. I think he's an absolutely brilliant lawyer. I hardly can wait to read his book, and he's just such a remarkable person. He's capable of doing so much. He's someone that's interesting to talk to on every different level. He's done so many different interesting things, and he's such an amiable person. He's a hard-charging, competitive person, there's no doubt about that. But he does it with poise and with class, and I admire him a great deal.
Does the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court decision from 2000, look any different to you now, 4 years later, as we face a new presidential election?
No, it does not, for the reason that what was happening down in Florida, in our opinion, in my opinion, was a process of taking away the statutory requirements for counting votes that had been enacted by the legislature and modifying those systems after the election. And when you do that after the election in a close contest, and when you count the votes in a way that can be manipulated by the persons counting them, that is not a fair process, and the Supreme Court was right to prevent that from happening.
If there is another contested election, and if you do participate in it, are there lessons from 2000 that you would be drawing on this time around?
Well, yes, we always try to learn something whenever we handle litigation. That was quite a difficult and fast-moving experience. I've reminded people when they think about that, that was 5 weeks. There were something like 3 Florida Supreme Court decisions and 2 United States Supreme Court decisions. Being able to assemble the legal work necessary to move that rapidly, especially at a time when, because all of the other litigation that was going on kept everybody from getting any sleep, I suppose we could be more efficient. I suppose that we could anticipate some of the issues. But these things are usually not exactly the same. And whatever you learn from the previous experience, you sort of have to learn a lot of different things all over again. I hope, for the sake of the winner and the non-winner in this election, and to the American people and all of us, that there isn't a large involvement of lawyers, that the election will be decisive, and that the procedures will be not only fair but be perceived to be fair, because I don't think it's, in the long run, good for the people to see lawyers and judges involved in counting votes and tabulating elections I think it's much better for the system if that does not happen.
Ted Olson, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Ted Olson represented the Bush-Cheney ticket in the Supreme Court 4 years ago. Earlier in the show, we heard from David Boies, who represented the Gore-Lieberman ticket.